how many of these creatures do you think are still on Earth? I know that's asking for a big, giant guess.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to say just I have absolutely no idea. I discovered one domicile. I never got past the Day Watchers, never got even the ability to count how many were in the main group. So okay. I may have experienced the last domicile on Earth, for all I know. I just have absolutely no idea. Even to calculate from the amount of sightings that are going on, it's just impossible.
That's a really good, honest answer, Todd. The domicile, as you call it, you found it, and you found it in this area that you made, apparently, now to your own sorrow, public. What did the domicile consist of? Even though you didn't get a Bigfoot, you did get some video. What was the domicile like?
Extremely remote, just almost inaccessible. It was beautiful. It was almost like going into it felt totally untouched by man. Even something I talked about a lot was just the species of deer that were there. They just they weren't fearful of us, which normally deer have a flea. They flee from you if you were anywhere right. near any distance of them.
Sure.
And it was a beautiful place. It was actually, it felt like there was electricity in there. It felt like a very positive, good place. And it's upset everybody involved, including the First Nations people, that this place has been so violated like it has. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, the domicile, was it simply an area of woods, or was there any construct to it at all?
Initially, I was under the impression that it was entirely encircled by an unbroken chain of mountains with only a few entrance points, which is actually not the case. There are several places you can get into, but the point was that there is a chain of mountains virtually all the way around it in different directions, and the terrain to get into it is just extremely difficult. Basically, now that the entranceway, there was a path under a mountain that I have listed on my website as well, that used to be able to get into. Well, that's all caved in now. So the only way, really accessible way to get in without going way out of your way or helicoptering in is to rock climb in. So after
okay,
this
I guess what I'm asking is, was there any evidence left behind of their presence? Were there crude tools? Were there footprints? Were there any evidence of, I don't know, food consumption or anything else you would look for in an area, for example, where somebody had been camping?
Actually, there was a shelter, a Bigfoot shelter. There were a couple of things that we uh-huh. saw that were significant. Other things I can't really reveal because they reveal that this is a Bigfoot domicile and somebody coming along would identify that as a possible domicile. But I sent you a press book and an interactive CD with a ton of information on it, and you'll see in there there's some photographs of a shelter that were very significant to me because what happened was some animal took a big tree, bent it, and shoved underneath a log, and then piled up, you know, branches on it. Now, my crew and I were there, and we're looking at this log, and it's, you know, the three of us couldn't budge it. And the tree that was bent over, I mean, it had a base diameter of about 8 inches. So to grab this tree and bend it and shove it under a log, that just doesn't happen naturally. And for it would have taken a group of 10 men to lift that log. So it was significant evidence to me. So.
All right. What about... I mean, if this is where they lived, then one would expect to find some evidence, footprints perhaps, leavings, as it were?
In the Rocky Mountains, it's rock everywhere, and there are patches of earth here and there, and the grounds, even there are trails, natural game trails, but those trails are significantly worn in. You're not going to even get, you know, any kind of prints out of something like that, especially because Bigfoot is, you know, has a big, huge foot. He's not hooved. He doesn't make those little indentations in it. But when I was doing my research there at the time, our goal was to get video evidence because we were presenting that to a tranquilizer gun expert, an actual person who was retired, a forestry officer. And he said, if you can prove to me that you can repeatedly get within 50 yards of one of these animals, I'll go back with you and I'll tranquilize one. And that was our goal, and that's entirely what we were focused on. And when we were there, too, the reality of it is it rains a lot in the mountains. So you're looking for other kinds of evidence, and you're dealing with weather, and you're trying to survive because it's, you know, it takes a tremendous amount of effort to get out there. You're with food, and it's terrifying as well, especially at night when these animals are active, and you realize these are unpredictable species you know nothing about. So we really focused on getting our video proof just to show the tranquilizer expert, and that's what we came back with. So for us, it was a success just to even have that much.
Todd, if you got too close, do you feel that there's any danger to you or your crew?
Absolutely. If you did anything, if you were to go and tranquilize one of these animals, animals don't see tranquilizer. They don't know the difference between a tranquilizer gun and a regular gun. If you drop one of their own kind in a community of animals that are peaceful mm-hmm. and harmonious, but they will defend themselves if they're attacked. If you go and throw a net over one of these animals, other animals are going to come out of the woodwork. And again, peaceful animals, but if you attack them, if you're trying to steal them away and put them into slavery into a zoo, they're going to violently defend themselves like any animal would do. And that's something else I'd like to tell the people is don't try to do that. Don't try to tranquilize one of them. Because as the First Nations people put it, you'd take your last breath. You're taking on an animal who's very familiar with its habitat, who is a master of the wilderness, who is twice the size of a gorilla and probably twice as strong. And you go and you tranquilize one of those animals, and I'm telling people, they live in communities like virtually all primates do. They evade people in communities. If you tranquilize or you try to harm one of these animals, which has probably happened in the past, if you actually know about the Ape Canyon story, you go to kill one of these animals, they will come back and they will defend themselves.
The Ape Canyon story. No, I don't know about that.
It's just someone claims to have shot a Bigfoot, and when he went to claim the body, other animals came and scared him off, and then when he went back to a cabin, he was allegedly bombarded with stones all night long. And people go back there and look at the area and whatnot, but this is just one of the... I believe if you actually tried to do something to an animal like this, it would absolutely annihilate you. And that's something that we were very aware of is when we were there in their domicile, we felt dominated at all times.
Well, Todd, I have heard a number of stories of people, having, you know... being under attack, stones thrown and terrorized during the night, that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. But most likely in those cases, in my experience, I would say that they had done something to provoke the animals because I was in a domicile, and although they were prevalent in the area, they did nothing to harm me. I was in their home, in their habitat, and they did absolutely nothing. They acted in no way violent towards me, and they could have. If they would have perceived me pointing a camera at them as a gun, they could have injured me, and that never happened. They never attacked or harmed me or my crew in any way.
For how long were you in their presence?
We only actually made it into the domicile the day that we shot the videos, 2 and 3. We were only there for 3 days. So it's a tremendous hike in. We ran out of food and just left and made it back to civilization as soon as we could. So, but we always knew that we hadn't given up the domicile, that nobody knew about the place, and that it would be our research site.
Okay. How did the word get out about where the domicile was?
Before I'd acquired a good team that I had thoroughly trusted, there was a gentleman who helped me shoot video one. And when I came back with that video evidence, it became the Bigfoot community said, "Hey, do you think you saw Bigfoot?" And I had said, "No, I didn't even have my, that's my video, video one, and you won't see it on my website because he took this video and he sold it. Some big money guy came in and said, "Hey, I think you found Bigfoot. I'll give you whatever amount of money if you take me to the domicile." And that's precisely what happened.